Chinese crypto fugitive on the run from British authorities and the curious case of $3 billion worth of missing Bitcoin. That's where we're going to start the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Will Bain in for Leanna again today. Great to have your company. Yeah, thousands of Chinese victims of a huge investment scam believe police in London have got more than $3 billion worth of Bitcoin that belongs to them, and they want the British government to give it back. The BBC's Nick Marsh takes up the story. Nick, extraordinary story. Take us through all the background, because there's plenty of twists and turns.
We're talking about more than 100,000 people in China who were tricked into giving their money to what they thought was a wealth management fund, but actually it was a scam. Now, the woman behind this, Ximin Qian, collected around $4 billion as part of this scam. And she basically got her assistant called Jian Wen, a British Chinese woman, to do a runner with the cash. Quite incredibly, Jian Wen, she was working in a Chinese takeaway in the UK. She was living above a restaurant in Leeds in 2017, and she converted all of this stolen money into Bitcoin. She basically started to live a very lavish lifestyle. She moved into this 6-bedroom house in Hampstead in North London that cost £17,000 a month, which I don't know how much that is in dollars, but it's even more than that. She moved her son to the UK to attend private school, and really where the law caught up with her was when she started to buy all of these houses, and she was struggling to pass the money laundering checks. Now, she said that she got all this money from mining Bitcoin. The UK police didn't believe her. That's when she was arrested, and she was actually convicted last month.
What then happens to all these people, most of them in China, whose cash is still missing?
So this week, they've sent a letter to the Chinese Foreign Ministry in Beijing to say, well, it's all very well and good arresting and convicting Jian Wen, but where's our money? So now really it's in the hands of the diplomats. So far, the British police have said that they haven't received any requests from the Chinese government to try and get this money. The plan, when this sort of thing does happen, is to split it between the police and the Home Office. Now, if the Chinese authorities do get involved and speak to the British diplomats, then there might be a change of strategy on the part of the British police to try and get some of these people their money back.
Our Asia business reporter, Nick Marsh, thanks so much for walking us all through it.
Thank you, Will.
Let's hope Nick gets the podcast rights for that as well. Let's check in on the numbers now. The FTSE 100 here in London heading for a record high close to end this week. Shares up over 1% again right now on the back of slightly better news for growth in the UK economy. We had GDP data out here in the UK this morning. Having fallen into recession at the back end of last year, the UK now looks like it's set to creep back out of that recession in the first quarter of this year. February's figure was a growth figure of 0.1%. Leads, though, to more questions, of course, here again about when or perhaps if the Bank of England, the central bank, will cut interest rates, something the European Central Bank declined to do yesterday, holding its key borrowing rate at a record high of 4%. Also, though, gave its strongest hints yet about the future for rate cuts, as Holger Schmieding, chief economist at Germany's Berenberg Bank, explained.
Rates in Europe are far too high given that the economy is pretty weak and that inflation is coming down. I don't think that the minority of members who wanted a rate cut were really hoping to get a cut. I think they are framing the debate in the sense of once we have cut in June, we should probably cut again in July. So the debate today, I think, in reality was what happens after the widely anticipated cut in June, where some members want a rapid succession of cuts, whereas others would probably want to move only once a quarter.
Holger Schmieding there. Now, an interesting move by the city of Geneva in Switzerland, because they're set to offer free transport for those under 25. Marc Breton has lived in Geneva for more than 30 years. Here is what he said about life in a city where public money is abundant.
20 years ago, we had a pretty hard economic blow with a constant deficit for 10 years or so. So the government is proposing now to use the money from these exceptional 2023 revenues to reduce the debt. They also promised to lower taxes from 2025 onwards. And they offered free transport for the under 25s. We welcomed all this good news. But the question is, if all goes well, the taxes will go down from 2025 onwards. But what is going to happen between now and 2025?
Now, the sport of paddle is exploding. Investment from celebrities and major brands alike. The BBC's Daniel Rosny has been finding out a little bit more about that appeal.
Hi, I'm Tia Norton. I'm age 20 and I am the current British female number one in paddle tennis. So paddle is always played in doubles. Paddle is a combination of tennis and squash in the same sport. It's about 3/4 of the size of a tennis court. You have a net in the middle, same as a tennis court, so hitting the ball over the net. But you also have walls all around you. The ball has to hit the floor before it touches any of the walls, and then you have to hit it off the wall before it bounces again.
I mean, it was never going to be great.
So I discovered paddle in 2015 when I was 12 years old. One of my old tennis coaches who invited me down to a club in Birmingham. I was having to go to London after school on a Wednesday, getting back home at 12 p.m. So I'd train once a week. And then I'd also fly to Spain on the weekends. So I'd go after school on a Friday, stay there the weekend, come home Monday morning, and then go straight to school from the airport.
Gave away a point. Okay, I'm really glad this is radio, because how many points have I lost then? Two straight away. Gone. What do your mates think of what you do?
Obviously, being British number one is quite a big thing. Most of my friends are at university, and whenever I talk about what I'm doing, they're like, Tia, you're literally living the dream.
And what about being a young woman in a sport, top of her game?
I broke onto the professional circuit when I was 17, becoming the first ever British woman to do that. And I looked to Serena Williams and people like that who broke onto the stage in tennis so early, and they're huge inspirations for me. So I hope that there's young girls out there who can look at me as a small inspiration into starting paddle.
Should I get a point then? I got 1 point.
The BBC's Daniel Rosny struggling a little bit at panel there by the sound of things, bringing us just about to the end of this edition of the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.